Graduates, family, faculty, staff, friends, thank you for letting me share this signal day in the young lives of the graduates. And the day is made perhaps a little longer for the parents who paid for the process. I know what I'm speaking of, since my three children were all in college at the same time, and two of them went on to finish graduate school. I thank the university for inviting me to this wonderful occasion. It's good to be back in Connecticut. I used to live near here in Wallingford. My wife and my first child were born in Meriden, as was our favorite singer, Rosa Ponsell. Hartford itself is, for me, the intellectual capital of America, since Mark Twain lived there, that fount of wisdom. When people like Senator McCain tell us that America is, by constitutional mandate, a Christian country, I remember Twain's response to his friend Andrew Carnegie, when Carnegie said, "Whether you like it or not, you have to admit America is a Christian country." Twain said, "Well, I know that, Andrew, but so is hell." And we don't brag about that. Looking at these graduates on this important day, I want to express my sincere and deep admiration for the complex, laborious, interwoven achievements that this event represents. My congratulations to the hardworking students, the hard-sacrificing parents, and the hard-driving teachers who have forged this conjoint miracle of education on a large scale. None of this happens easily or of itself. It demands planning, tradition, innovation, discipline, and investment. The graduates have invested much of their young lives in this project. Society has invested many of its resources, intellectual as well as financial, in your rise toward new opportunities and responsibilities. This has been your privilege, and it is now your challenge. What will you do with the tools that you have acquired? It may seem that you have closed a chapter, but you haven't. Surely when you get a graduate degree, you have a right to say that your education is finished, but it isn't. Sadly, I do know some people, even highly educated ones, who let their minds begin to stagnate as soon as they leave the university or the graduate school. But knowing is not a lump of accumulated data. It is a process, and it never ends. One cannot stop knowing without losing what knowledge is gained. It must always be renewed and expanded in order to exist at all. Your teachers have failed you, and you have failed yourselves, if you think the education process is ended, if you do not go on learning, testing what you know, expanding what you know, refining, deepening, exploring. You have not mastered the past, no one has. You cannot leave it behind. There's a parable for this in Milan Kundera's novel, The Unbearable Lightness of Being. Young people in the Czech Republic, during the Soviet invasion of their country in 1968, tried to confuse the invaders by tearing down direction and name signs on roads and towns and streets and train and bus stations. In effect, they effaced their country in order to preserve it. But years later, the lovers in the book try to go back to a spa town they had enjoyed early in their relationship. The occupiers have, in the interval, renamed everything. And now the lovers are the ones disoriented, wrenched from their earlier associations, confused about their bearings. Kundera says that, quote, "the past they had gone there to find had been confiscated." They had to flee the place in dismay. By not maintaining a continuity with the past, building on it, they had irretrievably lost it, and that muddied the present and their future. Ask yourself, who are the most interesting people you know around you in your life? Odds are that they are the ones still learning, still curious, still seeking. I just went to the 96th birthday of the oral historian Studs Terkel, who says that curiosity is what keeps him going. Referring to the old adage that curiosity killed the cat, he said he wants his tombstone to read, "Curiosity did not kill this cat." One of the more interesting friends I had was the libertarian autodidact, Carl Hess, who used to write Barry Goldwater's speeches. We were arrested together during a demonstration against the Vietnam War, and we spent a night in the same cell. I had with me my Greek New Testament, and he asked why. I said that I read it every day, and it's the most influential book in Western culture. He said, "Yeah, but why Greek?" I told him that learning Greek is the most economical intellectual investment one can make. If you are interested in epic, lyric, drama, oratory, history, philosophy, constitutional theory, you are constantly going to come across references to Homer, Sappho, Demosthenes, Thucydides, Plato, Aristotle, the people who began it all. And it's best to be able to check the sources in the original if you can. At the next demonstration Carl and I went to, he came over to me and said, "I hope we end up in the same cell again." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "I've been studying Greek, and I want to go over the verb forms." Alas, we were separated at the fingerprinting stage, so we didn't share a cell that night. Another friend of mine was the journalist I.F. Stone, who told me he was going to learn Greek when he retired. And he did. We were both night people at that time, and I would get phone calls at 2 or 3 in the morning wanting to know how to construe this sentence or that. It's not surprising that my radical friends wanted to go so far back into the riches of our tradition. After all, Nietzsche, Freud, and Marx, the great changers of the modern world, were all classically trained. If you want to affect the future, know the past. I do not claim, of course, that you must learn Greek or Latin, but to stay intellectually alive, you must keep learning something, learning more things, learning new things. It makes you a more interesting companion, or spouse, or parent. Henry Kissinger said that power is a great aphrodisiac. He was wrong. Knowledge is the great aphrodisiac. People were interested in Kissinger for his ideas long before they were interested in him for his offices. This is not an assignment, it's an enticement. It's fun. So I'll conclude just by giving the briefest and simplest advice. Have fun by knowing things.